Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well,
guys,
we have done it again.
We are
sat around while bad things happen.
Sat around while terrible things happen.
Terrible things occur.
We are podcasting on the cusp of a potential war.
Russia's war.
Yeah, a war of Russian aggression against the Ukraine. We hope we stand with Ukraine. We hope that they're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
As Carrie would say, stay true.
Stay true.
That's a real great advice.
I think we were talking a little about how, like, it's hard to wade through social media in times like this. I don't think we've really ever been, I mean, there's been global conflict, obviously, but social media in a war, I don't think we should have social media in general, but to add a war into the mix.
I think we've reached a point where the collective psychosis is so strong and we're now.
Sorry to interrupt, but as you said that a crow cawed.
My crows stand with me. I think that, like, we've been kind of separated or just, like, isolated a lot. And we went through a period of, like, social media activism and, like, the wave of, like, virtue signaling and that kind of usage of it. But I think now we've entered a new era where when horrible things happen, which I think will just keep happening over and over and be more and more, feel more and more powerful or present just because information travels so quickly and you have so much access to it. People have now this tool that they've gotten really comfortable with over the pandemic in isolation. And instead of doing things like calling your therapist or like meditating or journaling or just taking care of yourself and like doing like an artist date with yourself, you decide to deal with whatever's going on internally. Be it like you're stressed about World War III potentially or like COVID, which are all like totally valid things to be stressed about. Instead of doing something healthy, many people just log on and then air their pussies out to dry on social media. And we've entered this era of just like performance. Like everyone now is just performing and processing in real time. And it's so embarrassing and painful, but also deeply entertaining at its best. And then at its worst, it's like wildly annoying and...
The Imagine video.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of best worst.
Mm-hmm.
It existed in like, we hate to love it and love to hate it. But like, there's that middle area. Like, if you're not being a true, like, cringeworthy fool that inspires pity in the hearts of millions, or you're just like inspiring pure cry laughter, you're somewhere in the middle, and that's also just an even sadder place to be because you're not iconically spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think everyone is finding themselves. And I'm just a mere observer sitting on the sidelines with my fedora.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we've been siloed into like chapels of self,
mm-hmm.
with our, each of our social media brands. The singular, it's like a cathedral of yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially in a time of like, you know, it's horrifying, the stuff we're starting to see coming out of it. It's scary. People are going to die. Like, it's like very upsetting to see that this kind of bloodshed is happening. But people, to make it about you and to pity yourself and like your empath vibes, and to kind of pay homage to yourself for being like, I'm getting through this.
That's what therapy's for.
And like tweeting about it. It's like, okay.
That's what journals are for.
It's also, you know, on the flip side, like, you're, do whatever you want. You know, it's your, like,
no,
whatever.
No, it's a free,
free fucking country.
Hey, it's land just, of the free, home of the brave.
Mm-hmm.
America was built on the principles of you do you.
Right. But when I see like a gay in like New York who's works a cushy job at like a tech company in Flatiron and is like working remotely from like Queens and being like, oh my God, like, how am I supposed to work right now? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And posting like a silly meme picture with it. Like,
babe,
it's like, shut up. You're fine. You know, it's...
If you don't want to work, you probably just have a shitty job that you don't really like that much.
Yeah, or you're just lazy.
We're working.
I get it. Like, and, you know, I'm not saying it's not going to get worse. Like, it could... Who knows what's going to happen? It's... Your fears are valid, as Lara said. Like, it's... I'm afraid... It's scary. I'm just saying, like, to make it... To, like, make it twee and, like, be sort of, like, twee martyrdom, it's like... Okay. You know,
that's one genre of response.
I can't access that. And like, if that's what you want to do to feel better, like, I support you. And stay true.
I make fun and I want people to send me those. I want to follow specifically meme accounts that like post everyone's like psychosis because it makes me feel better. Because I think the only good thing about total destabilization and like war, truly the one silver lining is that there are memes about it, and those are really funny. And it's funny to live in an era where like people can meme about war. Like,
mm-hmm.
those things are such opposing forces that shouldn't exist in like the same lifetime, yet they do. So I think that that's like great, but I would obviously rather have no war and just like memes about something else.
No,
but
I mean,
like, if there's gonna be war and destabilization, like, at least there are also memes.
Yeah, I mean, LA, I think cultural icon Patrick Sandberg, he told me, we were talking a little about it, and he said shit posting through like turbulence,
mm-hmm.
is one thing that we can always depend on.
Always count on.
And that's true.
And shout out to meme lords and lordesses and meme nays and thems for
Liege.
Truly, you guys are doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You are the people that are processing your mental illness, I think, in the most healthy way by making people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, I tip my hat to you and I say thank you for your service, brave soldiers.
But yes, Lara, you were saying.
No, we just listened to the COVID psychic,
who
sent all his clients like a 15-minute reading of like what's going on. And I made Carrie listen to it with me.
It was a spiel.
It was a spiel. Yeah, his thoughts. Because I guess his inbox has been flooded. People are stressed around the world. And he basically said, like...
Again, understandably stressed.
No, well, yeah, it's like scary. But also, what are you going to do? It's like happening. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so people are very stressed. And he says things are definitely going to be in place of en masse. But... He pointed to a planet that was like the planet of corpses and then said piles of bodies. So like hate that, but like a place of en masse was conjured. But then he said he believes it will ultimately get better and there will be like a revolution. And he does not believe that this is leading to like a world war.
He sort of said... It leads into a place of she will be revealed tonight, like about Putin. He's sort of what was interesting in his screed, right? Is that the word?
I don't know. I like it.
His monologue was that Putin has sort of been like since 2014, sort of this like shadowy. I mean, Putin's always been Putin, but he's really pointing to a enlightening around the world of like. Some of these shadowy hypernormalization or like shady things that we've like been unable to
make
find
heads
the source,
or tails of. Yeah.
It's Putin. So he's sort of like, it's going to be a reckoning for him and like unmask it, like the Scooby-Doo villain.
He did go full. She will be revealed. And then you looked at me and said the thing that's been on both of our minds lately and something that I've been a truther about for a long time, which is Malaysia Flight 370.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that he's pointing to 2014. He kept reiterating because the psychic was saying was that this aggression that we're seeing is like horrifying and like very upsetting, but it's been happening since 2014 with like Crimea and all that. Action that was happening back then. It's just been this ongoing thing, and a lot of it has just been sort of under the radar and because Putin is so fucking clandestine and is able to pull weird stops,
just infiltrating left and right.
But he is saying this is sort of like, because as you said, there's so much information, like we're now just seeing it on full display, and he's not being coy about it anymore.
Yeah,
but he said like, this is not a new war. This is a war that's been going on for almost 10 years. But what's so interesting is, obviously, like, Malaysia 370, obviously, people might not know or remember. But like,
I think everyone remembers.
Yeah, but it was March of 2014.
If you listen to this podcast,
you
know that Malaysia 370 is a passion of ours.
But it happened in March of 2014. And there are a lot of theories, and some of them are kind of quacky, but there are some reputable people who are researchers who felt that, like, Russia had something to do with this.
I think
with that, I mean, sorry.
I think that now that I've heard this guy, I'm literally like, I truly know nothing, and I'm only basing this on two different psychics that I've never actually met who have told me things that I'm now just going to piece together. But based on Ovidiu's reading just now, and then based on a numerologist who years ago told my friend that Malaysia Flight 370, like, they would come back someday. Like, it was like, it's not done. Like, it will return. I don't necessarily think he means, like, the people will return or the airplane. But I'm now thinking he means that it will get aired out that Russia actually, like, shot that plane down or captured it or something like that. Or that Russia had something to do with it.
The article you sent me, I watched the Australia 60 Minutes on it, and this Australian, you know, researcher, I don't know, he's like a doctor or whatever, but he feels that he has the exact location of the plane somewhere off the coast of Australia under 10 meters of water, which is, or not 10 meters, 10,000 meters or something crazy. And he believes that the plane was being followed. And that's why
it went off course.
And because he said it was
like to try and lose whatever was following it.
He said it did a maneuver at one point where it was basically like in a holding pattern and like going in circles. And like it was a very erratic pattern, because he said it seemed it may, he theorizes that perhaps the pilot, who people believe now took it down intentionally or had some
mental thing going on,
yeah, or he was getting revenge on the airline or something about the some his someone a relative was sort of in like a political some
it, I don't believe these, that yeah, and I'll tell you why, and this leads into something that I really wanted to talk about, but like keep going.
Well, anyway, he said that it seemed like a good thought of a pilot, of like a skilled pilot, to try to lose someone following him. So maybe he thinks that maybe like another aircraft was like on the tail of the plane and sort of like hijacking them, like via following them,
mm-hmm.
and maybe kind of force them into this trajectory into the ocean.
Because they never found the black box, did they?
No, they haven't found anything.
They haven't found anything.
Well, no, they've found like pieces. They found a piece of a rudder or something on the all the way across to Reunion Island, which is off the coast of Africa. So it had to have traveled all the way across the Indian Ocean, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But like they found basically nothing.
I'm just saying.
But anyway, but there
all
there
eyes
was,
on you, Malaysia Flight 370.
There was a famous New York Mag article that this guy wrote that was like he felt that they had two Russian operatives on the plane that hijacked the plane, knocked everyone out or killed everyone by like depressurizing it, and then landed it in Kazakhstan.
Oh yeah, and like, you showed me the like.
Yeah, and there was like a they took like a satellite photos and they buried this huge area like in a short period of time. And they think the plane is under there. That's obviously like a very far fetched, but the plane was traveling for
things
like,
are crazy.
The plane was traveling for like 12 or 15 more hours before it disappeared. Which is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, he thinks it was like a Russia just fucking with us.
Probably.
But that's a theory. I don't know. I think it's interesting that all of that was being sort of implied by this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That Russia's been behind all these.
She anyway. Will be revealed.
But what were you?
No, I wanted to talk. Did you watch the Malaysia Flight 370 brain? Lime brain. I'm like Malaysia brain.
You have Havana.
Did you watch the case against Boeing?
No, I can't. I'm
oh,
too
yeah,
afraid.
Oh, yeah, you can't fuck with like a plane no. thing. Well,
freaks
I watched it, so you don't have to.
Great. As we are, as we're about to fly to like three different times in 1 week.
Yeah, like all on Boeing
yeah.
jets.
Mm-hmm.
But it was... I'm like, why the real war that needs to be waged is a war on Boeing for what they've done. It was crazy, Carrie. Like, you don't have to watch it. I know it'll just stress you out, but I really think like everyone needs to watch this documentary.
No, I mean, I'm interested. They like killed people.
Basically, Airbus came out with like a new jet, and then Boeing was like, oh no, like we're falling behind in the market share. And so they were like, we're just going to put these fuel efficient jets on like already just like old airplanes, mm-hmm. essentially. Like they just like refurbished a bunch of airplanes with these like heavy fuel efficient jets.
Right.
And in order to make up for the heaviness of the new jets on these old ass planes, they put in this system called an MCAS system that is like a little sensor near the nose of the plane that could sense if the plane's being like dragged by like if the plane goes up like at a certain angle, and it sends a signal to the back of the plane to make like the tail move to correct that, and like it drags the plane, it would like make the plane's nose go down instead of up. But to cut costs, Boeing just like put this system in, and they said over and over, like, the pilots don't need to be trained. They don't need to know about this. Like, they never told pilots that this like system existed. So remember in 2019, there were those two planes that crashed. Basically, these sensors were set off and they caused like all this commotion in the cockpit. And then the plane's nose starts going down. And the pilots have no idea what's going on or like how to fix it. And those planes crashed because of this sensor, and the pilots weren't trained and had no knowledge of how to like deal with the system. So then after these planes crashed, Boeing basically was saying like, oh, it's not, it was the pilot's fault. Like, it's not, like, just not taking a shred of responsibility. And then this documentary like looks into it and is basically like, oh, it tracks it. It like gives you a kind of history of Boeing as a company. And then there was this merger where this other company took over and it became like a corporation just focused on making money and like paying off the shareholders.
Right.
And then all the quality control went down and their production went up and they were like finding like ladders that were just like left in the plane, like what, like little metal shavings on wires that could like explode at any time. Like truly just like, and the shareholders are like, we don't care. We just want to sell airplanes. And then these two flights crashed basically because of that. They were like, we put these sensors in order to escape having to pay for any pilot simulation training, which costs, I guess, a ton of money to like pull pilots off of their job and like train them and get them up to speed on everything. They were like, they don't need it. They don't need it. They don't need it.
Oh my God.
And then sent these pilots like, and hundreds of people in just like death plane rides. And I'm like, how the fuck can this like happen and people just get away with it? And they basically just like got away with it. There were hearings and like they escaped any criminal charges. They had to pay $2.5 billion. The CEO retired with like $62 million in like retirement pension. Like, and meanwhile,
did the money go to the families?
I don't know. But that's also not that much when you, like, when you divide it in between, I don't know if they did or not. If you divide it between like 300 or 400 people and then pay everyone's lawyers and like whatever and recover costs, you're not getting that much money. No. And it's not even like any amount of money is going to replace your like daughter who died on this plane crash. It was a completely preventable, 100% preventable situation.
That makes me sick.
It's
where did
sickening.
They crash in the ocean?
They crashed they crashed within like very shortly after takeoff, one in the ground and then one in the ocean. And it would be like the plane would nosedive and then these pilots were trying to like get it up and the black boxes were found and it showed like the flight pattern of like them trying to fight from these nosedives. And they basically said in the system, if you don't act within 10 seconds and shut it off, the plane's gonna crash. And Jesus. The pilots didn't even know that. It's fucking crazy. And
if
like
you, and I know if you're pulling up and a plane, you're gonna stall.
Yeah, then it's just like destabilizing. Yeah. And so they also, what's even darker to me is like the style of like corporate communication in these types of events.
Disgusting.
Is not even human.
It should be like stoned publicly, honestly.
But it's like the way that they handle things. Like if you or I did something that caused someone to die, yeah. Like you or I or any human would be like, I'm so sorry, or like be like, I'm working on this, or be, I don't know, like you would have like a human and you'd have empathy about it and be like, clearly something's wrong here, like we're trying to fix this or blah blah blah,
or like I will spend the rest of my life trying to make amends for
yeah
this.
Or like let me yeah. figure out what happened yeah. like clearly this is some sort of issue that's like repeating itself, right. Like blah blah blah. They basically say like it's not our fault, it's the pilot's fault. They hire all these like lobbyists and publicity people to make it seem like it's like all these pilots' fault, or it's like these people from like kind of shitty countries that like don't know really how to fly planes. And like, and then they meet with the pilots' union because pilots are like really proud of their job. Like what I learned about pilots, but
you're
like
great.
All the pilots are like, we're proud to be pilots. This is why I don't think Malaysia Flight 370 pilot would like tank the plane, because pilots are like excited to fly and like no, they want to like do a great job.
They're good. My dad is, he flies.
Oh, yeah.
Not
strong
for his
pilot.
Like, main job, but he's a proud pilot.
Yeah. But like pilots are a vibe.
Yeah.
And so the pilots were like,
what the fuck?
Yeah. And they sat down with like the main bitches at Boeing to have like a meeting.
The main bitches. The main skanks at Boeing.
Yeah. And they like had some recordings of this meeting. And like, if I was going into a meeting for my fucking pilot bros and was sitting down, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, can you figure this out? Like, why is this happening? But everyone's so stilted in their language and it's like so non-emotional. It's bizarre. I'm like, corporations are crazy. You just have to like robot talk to each other and not even say what you really think or feel.
No, I mean,
I'd be like, what the fuck? And then I'd want them to be like, it's not our fucking problem. And then us like fight. I'd rather have like a fight than be like, we are looking into it and we shall see, but we don't. It's like, can you say one thing that like makes me believe you or believe that you even give a shit about this?
Well, the pilots are probably like worried about losing their jobs or like not working again if the corporate sharks blacklist them. You know what I mean?
But they're like
out.
Unionized, so I right, think that
but it's still
like...
it's probably intimidating. No, I mean, it's sort of like the Sacklers. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like Purdue, the big pharma. It's like you have literally like annihilated like almost a million people.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't care and you're getting away with it. Like, they are kind of getting away. I mean, they've been sort of slapped on the wrist.
I
but
know.
Like,
they're like, we lost the wing of the Met.
Yeah. But like they're down in, I mean, I heard from a source that they're like in Palm Beach.
Oh yeah.
Just like chilling.
That seems like the perfect place to go if
it's
you're
like
a
the
Sackler.
Exile of American exile zone. It's like the Corsica where they but like they don't care. These people, like these corporations, don't care.
No, I just can't imagine being appointed to the company I worked for was responsible for 300 people plus dying
horribly,
and then having the balls to just go into a court hearing and be just like
MBD.
Whatever about it. Like,
well, that's
you're kidding me.
Right. I think that I imagine that if you're in that position of like power and control and like you're around that much money and like corners being cut, like you probably develop, like, I think you can develop being a sociopath, or it just erodes your humanity.
Yeah, I think it's just like it's a true no humanity, only money zone.
But that to me it's a no brain. Like the plane thing is like, planes shouldn't crash. Like there should not be two plane crashes like within like a few months.
No.
I remember that. Like, because that's pre-COVID, so it feels so long ago. But like,
you know, Boeing was fucking creaming its panties when COVID came along. They were like, finally, something else to focus on.
Well, they were also like, great, no one will take our planes for a while, so they won't die.
But like, I'm just you guys. Boeing. No, everyone's taken. It's like Boeing or Airbus are basically
the only
planes.
I've taken both, but like that's horrifying to know that like we could have been on planes that like have faulty sensoring,
and they just kept sending them out. The people were like, "Please ground the planes," and they were like, "No."
I mean,
it's fucking crazy. And then Trump had to ground. He basically was like, "They're grounded," and then they grounded them for like the first time ever.
It's
fucking insane.
It's
that you
crazy.
Would just be like, nah, when you know, when you know. When you know that the fucking sensor is there.
It's
are
like
you fucking insane.
And like, this isn't like plane crashes are like, you do not survive plane. Like, no one really survives a plane crash. Like, they will for sure die. And it's like, are you willing to send en masse death in a split second?
You're like,
sure.
May happen, it may not.
It like actually makes me want to cry imagining the pilots like desperately trying to like,
no, it's crazy,
figure out what the fuck is going on. Like, I can't think of anything more horrifying, obviously, other than being a passenger, but to be a pilot being like, oh my god, like I have no control, and like, why don't I have the training for this?
Yeah,
when I have so much training but not training for this.
Like, I don't even know about know about this thing.
It's
because
cruel.
No one told me.
They like basically trick them.
It's It's truly one of the most bonkers. I'm just like, how is this even a company anymore?
I hope that all those corporate marauders are being like haunted by the ghosts of all the people that died in those plane crashes.
I pray they are haunted and their nightmares are visceral. A bloody, visceral, traumatizing, yes, dark hole that
chorus of ghouls.
Their waking hours are also cursed because they know that once night falls they must sleep again. Yeah, and they face can't the ghost sleep.
Like all they want is to sleep and they can't because that's the only hope that you can get is that like they,
because you just look and it's like all these like, also I'm like, you guys are really rich but you're all so ugly, like,
yeah,
it's really,
well that's what it does to you.
I know, but it's like shocking. I'm like, you have 62 mil, you can't get some Propecia or PRP, like come on. Like,
no, it turns
you in, can't get a tan,
they like, become literal like ring wraiths. No, just, I was they like, just become like, they're like the wraiths being like making that horse noise in Lord of the Rings, like like that's what you become.
Yeah, I was just like, you're the crypt keeper, honey. Like,
that's what happens when you kill people.
But I'm just like, how is this company still existed? I mean, obviously we gotta like fly places, but
that's, I think that's why, because there's like no, I have like, no other option.
Let's start an airline.
No. My idea of an airline
is not. It sounds like too much. I would, but it sounds like a lot of work. And I really don't know anything about engineering.
No, it's.
So I'm going to let someone else start one. But if I had the means and the time, it's something I might think about.
You'd start an airline that ensures no dying.
Lars Air.
Lars.
No death here. Oof. You will be trained within an inch of your life.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
I mean, damn, I would rather take my chances on, like, Ryanair than...
Ryanair, isn't that... That's just an airline.
It's like, kind of the Spirit airline of
Europe.
Yeah,
the airlines are... It's like... But they try and pass it off as, like, an airline problem. They're like, oh, this is, like, an Ethiopian airline. Like, no, you can't trust... And I'm not. Like, no,
that's racist.
Literally your plane with your sensor that you never told anyone about that's, like, faulty.
Yeah.
You sons of bitches.
It's true,
sons of bitches.
But like to be so like, that's so fucking gross to be like, oh, like they don't have as much resources as like America.
No, it's insane. It's they tried every single angle except the angle of maybe it's the sensor we put in the planes that we never told anyone about that could go horribly wrong at any second. They have no training because we wanted to save money and we didn't tell them how to train. Maybe mm-hmm. It could be that.
Or like maybe that pilots are like extremely brilliant people and should be allowed to like have the training to think and maneuver because they can save people every other second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And one pilot, the second plane that crashed, that pilot did turn off the thing, but he did it too late because it was only 10 seconds. It's just crazy to me.
Oh, God. Do you hear the black boxes?
Yeah, they found the black boxes.
Black box. I can't. Hearing them be like, what is happening?
They were pretty calm. I was like, my kings. Go off.
I knew I was going to be stressed. As the minute I saw that pop up on Netflix, I was like, no. I can't access plane crash.
No, my jaw was literally on the floor. I sat with my jaw on the floor the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was like, just truly in a place of how.
I have so much, like, I also think flight attendants are like the bravest people ever because they like, I just like every time I'm there, sometimes they're a little intense and a little firm, but I have such respect for them. And I'm like, knowing that they're unfazed by anything gives me such soothe.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me a place of soothe.
They voluntarily go up in the air multiple times a day.
In a tin can.
No, I can't
and
even.
Still look fresh and
I know.
Look
how
cute.
How does their skin like not dry out and their nose just bleed for days? That's me after one flight.
They have a full face of makeup on. And
a little heel.
And even the guys.
Yeah.
All of them. They all just look fresh and they're just no nonsense. And whenever I see turbulence, I look to one of the flight attendants and they're just kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. I'm good. I mean, I know they're trained.
Flight attendants and pilots are the real ones.
We love
true heroes.
We love our pilots.
Boeing,
we love our flight
literally
attendants.
Fist yourselves.
Fuck you,
you're
Boeing.
Going the fuck down. I don't know how or when.
We will say we are firmly anti-Boeing.
Oh, this podcast does not ride for Boeing. Although we shall probably be taking Boeing
next
planes.
A mere
in like a
five
few
days,
away. 72 hours.
Oh my God.
But that being said, you better fix those senses, you sons of bitches. I don't want anything happening on my flight. One last thing, hot tip, guys. Just sit as close to the front of the plane as you possibly
you
can. If you can.
Fight to get up to first
class.
Just
get as far to the front. Like,
from
even if you're in the middle.
Yeah.
Even if you're in the middle, like exit row, that's fine.
Oh, I'm always exit row.
Also, do you really think in an exit row situation, you'd be like, I'm going to wait for everyone to go and then I'll go?
I just say yes.
I say yes, but I know.
I would try to help.
I'd try and help people in my row.
I mean, if there was like, especially if there's like kids around me or something.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Or I would help. I mean,
I'd grab.
I think I'm like, I see myself as like a capable person, like mm-hmm. Physically. So like I would help.
You'd help by literally, I could see you grabbing people, like grandma's kids and throwing
them
out onto you'd throw them one by one out on the slide as fast as you possibly can so that you could get the fuck out of that plane.
I would literally be like, get the fuck, I would be like punting them. Like,
no, yeah,
out.
I'd be kicking them. I'd be kicking them down the thing too.
But, you know, when
they break an arm, they break a leg, it's fine. We're all going to die otherwise, so I'm going to kick you.
But in those moments, it's always good to look around and be like, all the other people agreeing, and you're like, do I get whiffs of will they help vibes? And you don't always. I don't want to be like a... I love like... teasing and like punching up and like, or just like if someone's saying something truly unhinged, like mm-hmm. it's fun to poke fun.
Oh yeah.
But I don't like being annoyed at people that I like usually. And like seeing, I don't like to be annoying either. And I know that like people are probably looking at my tweets and being like, he's fucking annoying. You know, like last night when everyone was tweeting about Ukraine, I just tweeted a screenshot of a recommended YouTube that was the three women from Sex from A Just Like That. And they all looked very harrowing. And it said, the ladies answer if Kim Cattrall will ever return. And I just posted that.
Kim said, nuh-uh.
But honestly, I was like, you know what? Like, what am I gonna post? What are you gonna do?
The only thing to do is to...
I have such empathy and like sympathy, but like I don't like, other than like I can donate money, there's links and resources for like food drives and like giving money to people in Ukraine. Like I will try to do my best to help out in any way I can. But like, what are you going to do? I don't know what to, I don't know what
in
the
times
right...
of deep distress and struggle, the best thing that you can possibly do truly is to take care of yourself and make sure that you're doing okay. And like, taking care of your own health and like job responsibilities and like blah blah blah. And then if you're at your best, like you will be in a better position to help others.
And that's what ideally, like what I always want to aim for is to like help out.
Yeah.
But like,
and also your way of helping is like you provide laughter, entertainment, like it's just like different ways of.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, you don't like donate and that is helpful. Obviously, money is helpful. No. But I mean, I just feel like it's like
sharing for me, like sharing trauma of like other people, that trauma that you're not affected by directly. But like if people just constantly on social media, I just see like so many people just reposting like horrible videos that like CNN is posting of like people and like terrible images. And it's like, why are you doing like,
yeah, no, I can't do that.
Like someone posting a video of like, look at this like bloody scene in Ukraine. Or it's like, why are you doing this? Like what? I mean, yes, we know this is happening and it's good to know that like there are people suffering and like, you know, be aware that like humans are capable of doing this to each other. But like, what good is this going to do to like, do trauma, sharing someone else's trauma?
No.
And then for what? For your like,
for likes and engagement. It's like their type of performance, but it's the type of performance that I don't appreciate. I appreciate Annalyn McCord's.
Oh, well, we have a contender for the best, for the video of the year.
Someone has stepped up to the plate.
Someone stepped her pussy up.
She did. And she wrote a poem. And then she did a live, she fired up the ring light and did a live reading. I thought at first when you sent this to me that this was just like her thoughts and feelings. But then I watched, I was like, oh my God, this is like spoken word poetry.
And she's basically, the poem is like, the gist of the poem is like, if I had been able to mother Putin, this war would not happen. Basically.
Okay.
She's like, dear Mr. Putin, like, God, I wish I could have held you as a child. I wish I could have been a mother for you. I wish I could provide. Basically, she's like, I wish I could have breastfed you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish I could. You could have sucked on my mommy milkies and. Mm-hmm.
And I could have been like, and you could maybe, have been my baby boy.
Yeah.
You grew up to be a good boy and not a bad boy like you, Mr. Putin. And mm-hmm. it's like, basically.
But she's also kind of sexy in it. She has
horny.
Like sexy Glenn Close hair.
It is. It's very Fatal Attraction hair. It's Alex Forrest hair. And she's kind of like, fuck me, Putin. But also, let me breastfeed you.
It's Elektra complex.
But it's very, like, and it goes on.
It cuts off the video. Like, it's so long that it just, like, at one point, like, 3.5 minutes into it, just cuts off. But I was like, where's part? Did she just keep going?
Someone cut her. Her publicist pulled the plug.
They said, shut down. Someone went to the electricity in her house and was like,
or Russia like hacked in and like saw it. And
Putin
was like,
said, make good, be my mommy. I want to be my mother.
But if anyone knows Annalyn McCord, who's like actually like a compelling performer, she was on 90210. She was like this hot babe with wavy hair and like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been sort of bopping around ever since. Never really took off.
I think she had like a really deep mental illness struggle. Yeah. And then...
She's sad. Well, clearly.
Yeah. And then a lot of sexual trauma, which... Mm.
Like in the Me Too moment?
I think it was like prior.
Oh, okay.
But that comes through too in the art. And...
Oh, I didn't know that.
I just think... I mean, this is a kind of an example of people processing their emotions via performance. And it's like, not for everyone, but hey, guess what? At least she wrote an original piece.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's Gal Gadot.
It's a contribution.
Gal Gadot is shaking.
Yeah.
She's shaking in her boots, her little felt boots, her little fedora. She's walking around getting coffee and singing Imagine. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. Annalyn is writing compelling, searing war poetry about Putin.
How's Gal gonna step it up? Who's gonna step up next, actually? Because this could be a whole new era of like the white females just really going for it.
White, but like, I love that she's saying, I could have stopped this,
mm-hmm.
which I just love. Like this blonde white lady in LA.
Not even like if you had a mother who loved you, but like if I had been the mother.
If you had taken my milk.
I like people, and I enjoy this form of psychosis of people making it so about them that they really think the chapel of self,
to kneel at the altar of the chapel of self is to think
that you somehow single-handedly could have stopped Russia from invading Ukraine.
I mean, I remember Mark Wahlberg said that about 9/11.
Did he say that, or was that just like a fake thing?
No, he said James Woods also believed that
he could have stopped 9/11.
Well, he was always on some plane where he swore he saw the hijackers on the plane like months before, and he like profiled them and reported them to the FBI. No, this is what he said.
No.
And he was like, if they had listened to me, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
It's like, no, honey, you're just racist.
Yeah, you're just fucking racist. It probably wasn't even...
I love him being like, I know it's a hijacker.
No, and it's
or
like,
being like, who is this guy? And then 9/11 happens and being like, I saw them.
It's like,
as though like millions of Muslim people don't travel.
Or yeah, just going about their fucking day anyway. So it's like that kind of like galaxy brain.
Where it's incredible.
Famous brain where you're like, I could have stopped this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's at least like had a pretty lengthy career, even though he's a pig. But like Annalyn, she's not famous, really, is she? I guess she is.
I don't know what is happening anymore.
I thought the video was... I was like, brava. Bravo.
That's
bravo.
A real... You know what? She is brave for sharing her art.
She woke up... And I was also thinking like, damn, she must have woken up at like... Did she... How long has she been...
Sitting on
crafting this? Like, has it been like... Since the...
Maybe for a few weeks, but it could have been for like a day. Because it did have like rhymes.
Oh, it rhymes. I mm-hmm. forgot about that.
She's like, Putin, if you were a child running in the grass, the summer had been mild and I would have held you close to my breast. Yes. And you would have feasted on my milk. It tasted like silk in the summer's day. Hey, scratching at your little... childlike legs lay in wonder at the grass.
Yeah, it's very like it's, Piper Laurie and Carrie.
Yeah, it's also very like it's a little bit jazzy.
She's very like it's very like the end of Carrie when Carrie's mom is like, he took me out and I smelled the whiskey on his breath and I liked it. I liked it. Remember? When she talks about how she got pregnant with Carrie.
Yeah.
He took me out to the barn and I smelled the whiskey on his breath and I told him to stop, but I also liked it. I liked it. That's very Annalyn in this moment. Very
There's
Margaret
a lot
White.
Going on. And I do hope that there is a therapist somewhere in the mix.
Oh, yeah, please. Like, I hope they're on call. But you know what? Maybe she's fine. Or like maybe she's reached a place where she is fine and this is like how she's processing her.
I think that also could be true.
So like
but I think also when you're fine, you should still talk to a therapist.
For sure. But I think I'd be worried if I were her friend or family. And I saw that.
Yeah.
I'd be a
little
worried.
It'd be a you okay Claude moment.
Yeah, someone should do a wellness check, but I also, like, thank you for giving us this video, and I think, like, it just felt so perfect for, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
For the most a new era of like cringe posting is upon us, and we just have to be smart. I'm saying this genuinely. Don't watch out for misinformation, because videos of someone was sharing a video that was literally from a video game saying that it was the Ukraine Russia crossfire going on, and was posting it and making the rounds, and people thought it was real, and someone had to fact check it. So like that kind of stuff, like be aware.
I would say don't get your news from Twitter or Instagram. If you want to go somewhere to research something, maybe get a newspaper or read a book or go to a website where journalists write things.
I mean, my
and
friend...
like check in there before you like check in with your tweeple.
I mean, my friend sent me, he saw that last night there was some Twitter Clubhouse thing. They have like this new feature where you can go on and like listen to people talk about.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Live commentary on like the attack, and Diplo was like one of the moderators. I was like, okay, what?
He's weighing in.
So guys, we need to get into,
clearly we
this is a special episode,
but do you know what is crazy is this episode of Mob Wives was literally called You Don't Want to Go to War with Me, and it was all about Karen, will she or won't she start a war,
the stirrings of war
with Drita, and I was like,
or and Carla,
yeah. So, and I'm truly like, this is so synchronistic at this point. Like, we are in tune with the universe on this podcast.
So stay with us as we go into another episode. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening
Carrie,
to...
Wait, you're Carrie the barber.
Lara sent me a link that you can find out your mob name. So you have to answer these questions. It's like a BuzzFeed quiz. And mine is Carrie the barber, the dirty politician.
Carrie the Barber O'Donnell, and I'm Lara Sweetlip Shane Halls. And I was like, this is right. It's the new astrology.
It is.
It is. It was like incredibly on point.
Mine was like, you're the diplomat, but like for cunning reason.
People line your pockets, you know their comings and goings, but
you don't say anything.
You don't say anything.
I don't rap.
I love that. Mine was like, you're the boss. You know when to cut people loose. And like I was like, I love
just
that.
getting a little like
boop, the boop, capo boop. Sweet lips,
yeah. And you're listening to
the matriarch,
sexy
Christ, sexy unique podcast, the
matriarchs of Mozadel. Things are gearing up. We're still in the shadow of Renee's rebirth party. And
Renee is retreating deeper and deeper into the shadows of herself. Mm-hmm. Karen's retreating deeper and deeper into her bimbo era / just an era of pure violence.
Mm-hmm. And Ramona's just like...
Getting arrested
for being an accessory to...
A drug deal
gone wrong.
Ramona goes, I'm finally returning to Karen's house after a long, mentally draining day of being in jail.
Also, why is like Bow Wow I Want Candy playing, basically? It's like, doon, 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 doon. And she's like coming home from a harrowing trauma day at jail.
I just love a mentally draining day of being in jail.
Karen didn't pick her up. Is just waiting for her back in her...
On her... bordello couch,
her blood red sectional with her dirty feet.
Yeah,
her
feet were so dirty. What was up with that? Everyone's feet were really dirty in this episode. Renee had a dirty feet moment too, and I was like, ladies, put some slippers on.
Put some socks on.
I just hate
on.
When I see people's dirty feet.
I know, but it was just noticeable because it was literally like it was like 3-4DX.
Do you have house shoes?
Anyway, she's just sitting there waiting. It's like 8. It's like 4 in the morning. She's smoking cigs. Ramona walks in. She goes, how are you? What's going on?
Ramona goes, I'm still in shock mode.
I'm still in shock mode.
She was arrested on the side of the highway, swarmed by police and the DEA.
Basically, her boyfriend is like, she thought her boyfriend was not involved with the lifestyle, but is a full-on like...
Drug dealer.
Drug pusher.
what better friend to have than Karen?
A former drug dealer.
In times of crisis where she goes, don't think this is the end of the world because now is when the battle begins. You got to get a lawyer.
You got to get up.
Yeah. She like took her through things and she was so calm about it. I was like, we all need a cheerleader like this in our lives.
She says it with the flattest affect. She goes, here comes the battle, Ramona. You got to lawyer up. You got to get press. You got to get da 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 da. You got to like make good. You know, she's just like taking her through like Sammy the Bulls.
What you do when you get arrested.
I mean, she was running an ecstasy operation. So she knows, she knows a thing or two.
Got to get a lawyer. Got to get some press.
Here comes the battle.
Now the battle begins.
Karen also looked like she'd smoked a blunt.
She is looking a little stoned. Her eyes are cashed.
Yeah, she was a little like smoking outside in the balcony in Hoboken.
She's like a glam stoner queen. What did she do? Did she get filler? Or is she just doing her makeup better?
I think she maybe is doing better makeup.
And hair?
Like, maybe a little...
Her hair is shinier?
A little Juvederm.
Something shifted, or maybe she just came into her own and was like, I'm going to own the screen, but Karen's glowing.
I think you just, like, when you go through one season and you're back for season two, like, I think every season...
You just get hotter and hotter.
You just get hotter and you get glam.
Mm-hmm.
She probably has glam. It takes a village.
She needs glam to tend to those dirty paws. Oh,
Big Ange is at the Drunken Monkey and Drita and Carla go to visit her where she's holding court at the end of the bar. And it's just like, I can't think of a better way to spend like 4 p.m. in Staten Island than just sitting with Ange chain smoking at the Drunken Monkey.
Yeah, and just getting a little wasted.
Or just like, it looks like she just had a glass of water. She's probably drunk.
Yeah. She's just like having a cocktail.
She's got all her girls with her. She's got Linda there. It just looks like really nice. There's a breeze coming through.
It's like a beautiful day.
Drita's like, if you live in the tri-state area, you know Big Ann. She's a legend. She's sort of the godmother of Staten Island.
When Drita walks in too, Big Ann, she goes, Drita!
She goes, Drita!
She used to own a bar called Nocturnals.
Well, she's sitting and smoking, and then Drita sits down. She goes, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, she had a bar called Nocturnals.
And she says, Drita used to come in here and beat up the whole bar.
Drita would sneak in when she was like a teenager to the bar and just like come to blows each night.
Drita's whole vibe, I guess her entire life really, because it hasn't stopped. She's still like throwing fists at people.
It's fight night.
She would go to friends' bars and just destroy them.
She did it at Derek.
She did it at Derek Tomato's bar.
Tobacco.
Derek Tobacco's bar.
Drita! Big Ann said, the bounce, no one ever ratted. The bouncers were stabbed. They just went to the hospital.
I love that.
Yeah.
People were stabbed, but not one person ratted. You can be stabbed, but as long as you don't rat, take yourself, clean yourself up.
I'll get you a car to the hospital.
They never ratted. The bouncers were stabbed.
Someone said I want to thank whoever said I had the better Big Ange impressions.
Yeah, it is really good. Like, I don't even want to do the impression, like, because you do it so well.
I felt very moved by that because all I want to do is honor my lady and my guardian angel, and I love her.
This is you keeping her spirit alive.
The bouncers were stabbed, but they just went to the hospital. They never ratted.
Big Ange also has a son named AJ.
I know.
Which is just like what you do, I suppose, if you have a son and you're Italian.
I think every woman's son's name in Staten Island is Anthony Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
AJ's a sad case a little bit because
Ange says he gets arrested every week.
She gets a phone call and he's been in a car accident.
She goes, he's arrested every week. She goes, oh my God, I just got a text. My son was in a bad car accident.
He was in a bad car accident.
So she calls, she goes outside and she calls the father of AJ and her daughter, her ex.
And she's like, how bad is it?
And then she goes,
was he high? Oh, I'm very disappointed.
She goes, you can't tell. That means yes. She goes, where are yous?
Where are yous?
Yeah, but she almost sounds Russian.
It's a little bit. Also, remember last episode they were talking about Ukraine?
Oh my god, yeah, about going to get med spa. For all my 90-day fiance heads, I was thinking about David last night, who went to Ukraine and...
But did finally meet.
But they, like, he was like, well, I'm going to drive 7 hours to the north. And his friend was like, who's Ukrainian, was like, this conflict that has been going on now is like...
Oh my god, yeah.
He drive through war-torn, like, Ukraine.
And he drove and drove and just until his car wheel like fell off because there are no roads because it's just like conflict zone.
She's like, there's shells on the ground. Like there's, but like you could get shot. And he's like, I'm going.
He drove an entire film crew out into
Crimea.
Literally into Putin's lair.
Yeah.
To just try and get some puss.
So I hope.
Her power. I love that she turned out to be real, too.
She turned out to be real.
There's no fucking way. No, she was... no, absolutely no way.
She literally looked like she did.
Mm-hmm.
And was normal.
100% real.
And, like, kind of normal.
Yeah. And she was like...
I love it. She's like, I could consider dating you. She goes, but the first thing we have to do is get rid of that jacket that you're wearing. Because she was wearing this... hideous pleather trench.
Yeah, his trench game was bad.
And but she was
he might have been ahead of his time, actually, because I feel that that's very Balenciaga, like Demna vibe.
I have a trench that has some leather on it.
I mean, I think that he would be more fashionable now than he was back then with the trench. Well, whole style was like Vetements.
I just hope that he's okay.
She broke up with him, right?
Yeah. I think, like, immediately.
Yeah, she was like, I didn't really think you'd show up.
Is that Tony?
He's gone full face buried in chair.
He's suffocating.
Tonya.
Karen and Renee meet at a hookah bar, and I just want to be there. It has, like, a display window, like, for foods.
Mm-hmm.
There's people smoking hookah. They're eating delicious-looking food. I just want to be there. There's a vibe to it that looks... kind of like refreshing.
Really?
Yeah.
I had the exact opposite emotion. I was like,
it felt very New York, New Jersey.
People's dining in a restaurant where you can like smell the breath of everyone around you is like,
oh, I like it. I was like, I just felt like it felt very like New York, New Jersey to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt called to it.
Karen's still mad about Carla and Drita. Because of the hospital rumors. She's really hung up on people saying that she went to the hospital because Drita beat her ass so bad.
Yeah, Karen, like, when she's addressing it, she actually, like, loses her cool. Like, she starts shaking a little and her eyes bug. Like, it's, like, a very huge point of contention for her.
What's beneath that, I wonder?
It's just, like...
just pride?
Pride. I think it's her dad... I think she wants to be tough as fuck because her dad tarnished her family's, like, street cred. So, yeah. Like, any kind of shown of vulnerability or weakness is, like, it's not good. It won't do. Karen's like, I hear the girl Carla has been spreading lies about me in the streets.
She's like, that I went to the fucking hospital. I didn't go to the fucking hospital. She goes, if she's going to be that much of a cunt licker that she's going to come and have Drita's back, then I'm going to beat her ass. And Renee goes, oh, I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see that coming. Also, Renee, as Karen's going through this with her, Renee's jaw is just, she's, I don't know what's happening with her. I think it might be a few.
The pills are kicking in.
But she's completely... slack-jawed listening to Karen talk about her beef with Carla. She's like,
well, I go into I would go jaw drop too, yeah. Because Karen becomes a different person.
Yeah, what the fuck are you? Why are you?
Why are you on this?
Carla? Why do you care?
The girl Carla.
What does she say? She goes, they're tick and talk, those two.
They're tick and talk. One goes one place, the other goes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh,
I didn't see that coming.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Renee says, she goes, Junior asked me to move back in. I'm like, no, Junior you, is moving into your place.
Yeah, you asked Junior
to move into your home.
To your shared home.
Ugh, and this is, so he's moving in. It's like move-in day for Junior. And it's so troubling because as we know, like Junior did all this just to tap her. So he moved in and like she's so happy that he's moving back in and she's putting pictures up and she's like, judging everything and he's moving couches in and she's all excited and it's just to get close to her so he can get info to the fucking the man.
I'm it's shaken so gross. By that. It's really sad. I was like, did he put a wiretap in the couch?
Maybe.
Like, it's probably one of those things that he brought into the house is tapped.
No, I think he literally, this is all like leading up to the point of, you know, ratting.
Pig. She goes, you're giving me hot flashes. You're giving me hot flashes.
Yeah, she's going, oh. She's
running. Don't set the sectional up like that.
There's butterscotch Yankee candles everywhere, every which way.
That house, I know exactly what it smells me like. Too. It was very much like, that was the vibe of like my dad's house that he lived in for a while. Like when I was in middle school, when I had a stepmom who both my parents, she and my dad both smoked indoors.
Angie.
And she was like, it was Yankee candles everywhere. And it was always the smell of like Yankee candles and cigarettes.
Kind of smells good.
It's nice. I won't lie.
That should be a scent.
Mm-hmm.
Yankee candle and cig as a...
like kind of a warm... and she smoked cloves too.
Ooh.
Which I loved the smell of cloves.
Ooh. Yeah, Renee's like, we've rekindled... Junior's back. She's as happy as a clam.
Never been better. Her family's back together again. Ramona goes over to Karen's house again. She goes, my boyfriend got arrested on some DEA something or the other. It's everywhere and I can't escape it.
Yeah, it's in like page six.
I think she likes it.
Yeah. Karen goes, she goes, I'm going to have you read this. Do you see the papers? She hands him over. She's sitting out back with a Diet Coke on her balcony, looking over Hoboken. And she's like, she goes, I remember the first time my dad was in the papers. I came home. He put him out on the table and he says, I want you to read this. There are things in there that are true and there are things in there that are not true. You decide.
Some stuff I'll tell you and some stuff I'll never tell you.
Because I can't.
And I was like, work, I guess.
Yeah.
So Karen had a very open relationship with her dad about his whole lifestyle.
Which makes her like
a criminal.
A criminal. She's a little more like, it's more gray area with her.
That's like why she became a drug dealer in Arizona.
Well, it's kind of like Carmella, right? She knows.
She knows, but it's, I guess, different because I think Karen got... that lifestyle was like exemplified to her that then she could take it and make it her own.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmella like benefited off of the lifestyle, but kind of like turned the other cheek, but would support it. If push came to shove and it meant her having to compromise her own lifestyle and wealth, she would support it.
Right.
Not too dissimilar, but like Carmella wasn't a drug dealer.
That... I didn't see the Soprano Super Bowl ad when it was airing,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, gave me big chills.
Huge chills.
I feel like
hate that it was like for a Ford pickup truck.
I feel like it could be like a real thing.
What?
Like a special like follow-up episode.
After the Many Saints in Newark, I think David Chase needs to just move on to other ideas.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst movies I've...
I haven't
ever
watched it.
Seen.
Yeah.
It was It was shockingly bad.
Damn.
And no one really wants to talk about it because I don't think anyone really wants to live in a world where that's the truth. But everyone who saw it knows that that's, we all know, and everyone just did him a solid and we're like, we're gonna forget this, but like, don't put us through that again.
The real heads know.
The real heads know. Oh, also when Karen was talking to Carla at the restaurant, or when she was talking to Renee, she goes, if that doesn't change, we're going to war, bitch. And I just wrote, no war, please.
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 Drita and Carla meet Derek Tobacco, and Drita...
finally, some FaceTime with the one and only Derek Tobacco.
He has gay energy.
He's gay, right?
I don't think he is, like, openly gay, but he just has the vibe of, like, he's one of the girls. He could just be, like, a straight guy that has more... I don't know.
I don't think you hang with Drita and Carla, two glamazons, like...
in Staten Island.
As a straight man, you're not... I don't know. He read to me as gay.
Yeah, me too.
A man whose name is Derek Tobacco, I immediately was like, he is the number one gay.
So Derek's there to sort of like clear his name. And he's like, people, like there's so many, still so many people thinking that I punched Ramona. And he's like, I've never done that before. He's like, Drita, like you used to fight in my bars all the time. So I'm used to
kind of... having to pull you off.
Yeah.
People.
He's like, I've had to pull you off of like dozens of people. And she's like, ho, 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 ho.
Well, Drita's there to get to the bottom of whether or not Karen punched her while she was being held. Because if Karen, in fact, did punch Drita while Derek Tobacco was holding her back, then according to Drita, she's a punk bitch.
She's a punk ass bitch.
So I love that it's just like, is she a punk ass bitch or not? Is the big question on Drita's mind. She's like, we're going to get to the bottom of this punk ass bitch.
And
I think it ends up being that Karen's a punk bitch.
Karen's a punk bitch.
Derek Tobacco looks kind of like Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh my God, yeah. He's also just like, you can tell he loves being with his girls.
He loves it, and he's mastered the art of breaking up girl fights. He goes, you have to go like this, and then that. Like, puts his hands up kind of in like a swim diver, because he's like, there are a lot of bodies in the mix. You don't want to touch anyone inappropriately. You don't want to mess with anyone. So you have to like basically like slide your hands into a mess of bodies that are entangled and like hands and hair, and then like slowly pull back.
He's gay.
He's gay. When he did that hand movement, I was like, you're gay as hell.
Yeah.
Gay as the day is long. Gotta love you for it, Derek Tobacco.
But they love Derek.
Yeah. Drita then, she goes, I was being held. I know I was being held. You know what? She's a punk.
She's a punk. Renee talks to Junior, and apparently AJ came home late one night, like past curfew, and Renee yelled at him, and he broke down her door. He kicked in her door, threw a lamp, and screamed at her and called her a fucking bitch.
Junior comes in after a long day of cooperating with the FBI, and the first person he interfaces with is Renee, who's just marching across the house, and she goes, so yesterday, AJ kicked my door open.
Yeah. She goes, you need to talk to your son.
She goes, he broke a lamp, and then broke the door. And then they sit down to like talk about what could possibly be getting AJ so frustrated. And in my head, I'm like, literally, you people have done your tumultuous marriage and like on and off dysfunctional relationship is now manifesting as like teen rebellion. And you need to like take responsibility and move forward.
And your family's generational crime.
Yeah. Like,
association of
the cyclical nature of getting men incarcerated and not being there for their sons is now like, these are the consequences of those. And maybe you'll have a productive conversation.
No.
Junior goes, I think AJ has had an emotional twist because of his girlfriend.
I blame the woman.
I love. And blame then Renee the goes, you're right. She goes, I don't want anyone dating my son, giving him a hard time. And I was like, you guys have completely missed the mark.
They've missed it.
Like 1,000% off.
Like truly parenting quiz, they just failed.
Oh, absolute failure on every level.
I love that like both medieval and very current inclination, just blame the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Burn the witch.
I think he's having an emotional twist.
That's basically like she poisoned the well and blighted our crops.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's the source of this rageful young man who has anger issues because he's can't deal with his emotions. Because everyone in his life goes to jail or kills people.
Not the fact that his dad spent most of his life in jail only to come out and have like knockdown, drag out fights with his mother, then is in and out of his life and is now moved back in, which AJ knows will only end in pain for everyone, most of all him. That's not the thing causing him to have an emotional twist. Mm-mm. It's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
His girlfriend's probably the only good thing he has going on. At least he can, like, fuck.
Yeah. Don't
and
blame her.
I love Renee. I thought, oh, Renee will definitely try and, like,
defend her.
Or, like, say something about maybe it's Junior. And she goes, oh, I can't have my son dating any girl that puts him in that headspace.
She goes, oh, you need to talk to your son. You need to make it better with him.
She goes, that girl's gotta go.
She's gotta go.
You gotta be the one to tell him. And I was like, this will no doubtedly make this situation
AJ,
so much worse.
AJ will be so mad at you.
Like, he's gonna fucking set your house on
fire.
He
will. This is like how that starts. Also, your son kicking your door down, like, that's like a sign of like...
He's filled with rage.
He's filled
and
with
he
rage.
Needs stability in his life.
She goes, he's gonna end up like a criminal just like you.
I love, well, that girl's got to go.
That girl's got to go.
No, you guys need to go to therapy all together as a family. Big Ange.
Big Ange and AJ.
Okay, her son AJ, I'd kind of hit it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
He's sexy.
He's hot.
Also like 6'4".
Yeah. I wish he'd take those glasses off.
I know.
But they were at a glasses brunch.
I also think that he might be stoned.
Hashtag stoned.
She goes,
so what's going on with you? Have you got any ladies?
And he goes, yeah, I got a few girls that I met. He sounds kind of like her, too.
They sound, them talking again was like ASMR. She's like, so what happened with your wreck? And he's like, oh, you know, like before I knew it, the car crashed and like my head hit the windshield and, you know, my head could have gone through the fucking window. And she goes, I'm glad nothing happened to that beautiful head of yours.
I'm glad nothing happened to the beautiful face of yours. And she goes, I'm dating someone.
She's a new man.
She goes, he's just out of jail. But guess what he did? He killed someone.
And he's like, that doesn't mean he's a bad person.
She goes, he just did 28 years for murder.
For murder. And he goes, and then she goes,
that doesn't make him a bad guy that he did that.
And then she goes, he's buying me a puppy.
He goes, what kind of puppy? She goes, a little Pomeranian.
A little Pomeranian. So cute.
I'm obsessed. I thought she had a husband, you said.
Yeah, she's like dating around.
Wait, she has a husband, but she also dates?
Mm-hmm.
That's like queen shit.
A young husband. A young, big
Her
dick
basement husband.
Husband
Her that basement. She's like, you are chained to the radiator.
Until
I want you to fuck me. And then I unchain you. You fuck me. I come. Who cares if you do or not?
Well, I think they support...
Back to chained. And now I'm going to go date this murderer who's buying me a puppy.
He's buying me a puppy.
Wait, I'm obsessed with that.
Yeah, I think she's just like the wise guys just have supported her life her whole life.
And then she, when she gets a husband, she's like, just so you know, I'm not off the market.
Yeah.
She's like, we will have an open relationship where I'm open and you're closed.
Well, I think either he came in right around this time or they've just been married and she's kept him sort of out of the fray until like the third or fourth season. But she's been married.
And
she's
talking
just
about
out
her
loud.
Dating life
yeah.
on television.
He's a good guy. He's buying me puppy.
A little Pomeranian.
A little Pomeranian.
So does he get her the palm?
Yeah.
Big Ange did what we all should and could be doing.
She's amazing.
How does she do it?
She
just
Ange.
Gets gifts.
Because she's big. Busty broad.
With a big lips.
Big lips. She's
feather in her hair. She's like that meme that's going around of those girl, that woman with gigantic tits in a dress. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's been making It's truly some of the biggest naturals I've ever seen. And she's wearing like, it's like a really like modest looking girl who's just like smiling and not like not even sexy at all with truly the bajungas of the century.
Yeah.
And that's big Ange vibes.
I love this like a busty woman.
I have to send you these.
Busty bro.
She is busty.
She's like, what? Big Ange is kind of the meme of those like Russian women with like the tits that are like the size of like a tortoises mm-hmm. playing the piano. Have you seen that one?
No.
You've seen it. It's a meme. It's like Russian people and these giant, giant titties just sitting at a piano playing and the other one's just...
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, that's what she is.
Wait, so do you think, like, is the key you just get, like, huge boobs and huge lips and then men come running ready to gift you with Pomeranians?
And, like, you're also kind of, like...
And you cook, but you also have a husband.
And you smoke, like, 1,000 cigs, so your voice is really raspy. And, like, you kind of are, like, a dude.
She is, like, a dude.
Guys just want to... Guys, at the end of the day, just a lot of guys just want to, like... Fuck both their mom and a dude.
She's figured it out, though, because she's got her thing going on. So she doesn't need to, like, get attached to these guys. No. And they can have fun and go on dates. And they'll buy her stuff.
And it benefits him.
And it benefits... And then she gets to go home. And she has a man. Mm-hmm. And then these guys get to go do whatever they want. So I think the key is you just get a boyfriend and then openly cheat on him. Even after, through the relationship and even after when you're married.
You get more into her backstory, but she's lived, like, she lived in a big mansion at one point. Like, she's, and I think her sister's family is very wealthy. I think she comes from money.
Okay.
But she's just lived a high lifestyle.
I gotta read her book. I'm gonna get that on Kindle.
Sally Dogs Lombardi was the name of her.
Her dead uncle.
Sally, old Sally Dogs.
She's worried that...
Tommy Lombardi.
I thought she said Salad Dogs Lombardi, but she doesn't want AJ to be like them.
No, but I think he's going to be, whether she likes it or not.
But I think she kind of wants him to be. She's a little...
Oh, don't get into it.
I think the women all want their son secretly to be like
that.
Yeah.
Carla...
And Etsy.
I was a little like, Carla snoozed me. Sorry.
Yeah. They go to a fashion show. And they're...
Where is it? Staten Island Fashion Week?
I have no idea. They're sitting in the front row, though. Front row queens at the Edwin D'Angelo show.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
She's drinking, like, what looks like a margarita.
She's like, I love fashion because, you know, I'm always thinking about starting my own clothing line. And I was like, really? You're always thinking about that?
Spoiler alert.
Never mentioned that. Does she start her own clothing line?
Spoiler alert. This is tease and it just never happens. Like other housewives-esque adjacent who've like been like, I'm interested in starting my own brand. She never starts one.
Well, it actually takes work to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Not her.
I love fashion. And I'm always thinking, you know me, I'm always thinking about starting my own clothing line.
She and Etty are just sitting in the front row, just fully talking as loud as we are during the show.
How disrespectful to Edwin D'Angelo.
Yeah. Renee, okay, Karen and Ramona bring their kids over to have dinner at Renee's, which, by the way, the food looks incredible.
A full platter of, like, eggplant parm.
It's like a Sunday dinner.
It's also a rainy, rainy day.
It's like Sunday night dinner. The kids are all in the other room, like, live, laugh, loving.
I love their kids, too. It's like a bunch of, like, chubby Italian kids.
Oh, they're so cute.
They're so cute.
Ramona's kids are really cute. There's a scene with her daughter that's like really heartbreaking.
I know, you were saying.
Her daughter's the one that makes the face at Renee when she's like, but Renee's stoned and drunk as fuck in this scene. She's making food. She's complaining about Junior and the crumbs. He's leaving shit everywhere. She's basically like, Junior's ruining my life already by living here because he's so messy.
Yeah, and AJ is also terrorizing her. And AJ told her in a fit of rage that he hopes that she and Junior don't work out. And I was like, here's a clue as to why he's now saying it to you, the reason why he's so angry, if only you could hear it and listen.
She goes,
AJ said he doesn't want me and his father's relationship to work out.
And her eyes are like this. And Karen and Ramona, you can tell, are trying not to laugh. Because they're like, they know. I think they like know when Renee's starting.
Mm-hmm. She gets on one about crumbs and how crazy she gets driven by crumbs. And Ramona goes, well, at least you don't have no female crumbs calling around, mm-hmm. asking questions. And Renee goes, oh, there is one.
She goes, oh, they're calling.
No.
She goes, there's one. She goes, there's a woman I'm texting. I've seen the text.
And she goes, the crumbs everywhere. That was one of my rules.
Ramona's like kind of egging her on a little. She's starting her up.
Throwing gas on the fire.
And at one point the kids are making a lot of noise and you just see Karen go, be quiet, from the other room. And Renee just barges in, grabs one of the kid's shoulders, and she goes,
we need you to be quiet for fucking 5 minutes.
She goes, I need you to be quiet for fucking 5 minutes. Do you hear me?
Do you hear me?
She goes, don't make me.
I was screaming, and the kids are all like, but I, like, honestly, that feels very, like, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Close family friend mom.
Who can grab you, and the other two moms are absolutely fine with it.
Yeah, like I had my friend's parents have like scolded me.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Shook you a little bit.
Yeah, I got pinched in church once because we were all giggling. What?
I just love it. She scared me. I thought she was talking to like the other women, and then I was like, oh, she's doing this to like a table of children.
They were all like, and they're all like, what the fuck?
They're like, what's wrong with this woman? I also love like bringing your children around a drug addict who's drunk.
Yeah.
I was triggered by that, but I love her for it. She goes, I hate crumbs. They drive me fucking crazy. And she goes on a full crumb. She does a tight 10 on crumbs.
She has a crumb safari where she gets on the ground in the linoleum of her kitchen barefoot with her
dirty feet again.
And just crawled going, Renee, clean the motherfucking crumbs. Ramona starts yelling at her.
She has like just a white wine glass filled to the brim, mm-hmm. with some Chardonnay on ice.
Ramona and Karen and their confessional is like, hey, Renee, maybe stop drinking and stop getting blottoed.
She's also pilled out.
Yeah.
She has the slur and the gaze of a popper.
Pill vibes.
When does she get sober?
Next season.
Love that.
But like it's
tenuous.
I think it's unfortunately still tenuous, I think.
Stoned. That's that stoned life.
The Madonna picture of her going.
Madonna is in a full place of Renee.
She is.
She's gone fully into the Renee
Madonna's
zone.
Photoshopping looks like a boardwalk caricature drawing.
It does. It looks like
giant head.
It looks like Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
Like if you painted a woman's face on like the mm-hmm. side of a building. It's unreal.
Carla and Drita do gym time.
Pumping iron.
I didn't really hear what they were saying, but I was just imagining like it'd be cool if they both went into bodybuilding together.
Yeah.
And became like female bodybuilders.
I just love their commitment to physical fitness.
Carla goes, I've been hearing through the neighborhood.
Yeah, they're talking about like Ramona and Karen. And Drita said something really poetic and deeply resonant. She goes, haters are like crickets. They chirp all fucking day and you walk by them and they shut up. And I was like, ain't that the truth?
She's a poet.
She really is.
The poet laureate of Staten Island.
I guess they're trying to like weigh whether or not they want to be friends with like Ramona Rizzo and Karen. And Carla goes, all I know is I got my friends and I don't need new ones.
Okay.
All right.
She calls her Lucifer.
They go, and that's because Lucifer got in the mix. Love. Drita goes, all of a sudden, everybody's a brawler.
Fight night. Drita's all about fight night.
Drita's all about fighting and like following the rules of fighting. And Karen's all about fighting dirty and getting really mad if someone says that you went to the hospital from fighting when you didn't go to the hospital.
To me, Drita is the human equivalent of pay-per-view boxing.
Mm-hmm. She can brawl and be totally fine.
Yeah. She's been doing it since she was born, basically.
She was born to brawl.
Born to brawl.
How many fights do you think she's been in?
Hundreds.
Why didn't she ever box?
Well,
it's more fun to just like, oh, okay.
Karen calls up. She sits on her gloomy, it's a gloomy day in Hoboken. And she stands on her porch and she calls Carla.
She's doing like balcony work in this scene.
She's acting and she goes, hi, Carla. She goes, hi, Carla. How's doing? And she goes, good. Feels like I haven't seen you all summer. Summer's almost over and we haven't seen each other. And she goes, I know, we haven't seen each other. And she goes, I was actually wondering if you wanted to see each other. And Carla goes, okay. And she goes, well, you know, full disclosure.
To be honest. She keeps saying to be honest.
To be honest, I wanted to sit down. There's some things I want to discuss that I'm not really happy about. And Carla goes, you're mad at me? She goes, yeah, I just want to talk about it in person. I'd rather not do it behind your back.
Fair.
So they sit down for dinner.
At Francesca's Italian restaurant.
I mean, like chef's kiss name.
Yeah, I love it. It's so Italian. And these are like the peace talks pre-invasion.
Mm-hmm.
This is like war is percolating.
The UN.
Yeah, and the UN summit is upon them at Francesca's.
But it's no work. Mm-mm. Only this one goes better than the one.
This one actually does. And I think that we all could have learned something from these talks.
You sit down to break bread.
You sit down to break bread. You scream. You get up. You move about. You traumatize other people in the restaurant. But then you admit that you both kind of like each other. And then have a shot.
Well, what's crazy is that they're eating full dinners while fighting.
Yeah, they ate the full... They had like a multi-course meal.
I don't know if I could do that. Like, I would be like, I need to eat my calamari and like enjoy it before I start going in.
Not them. They are fighting mid-bites of Caesar salad.
Karen goes, to be honest, I hated your guts.
This whole summer, I hated your fucking guts. And Carla goes, why are you saying that to me?
Carla's kind of like, I think she's comes off better in this scene.
Yeah. She goes, I don't know why you're telling me that. I just came here to dinner to have dinner with you. And Karen goes, when I told Drita I was coming for her, and then I got up and I saw you laughing, I thought, I'm coming for her too.
She goes, in my mind, I was coming for you too. And Carla goes, I wasn't laughing at you. I was just laughing at, like, we're on a roof brawling, and it was absurd.
Damn. So Karen's taking it all the way back to, like, rooftop brawl.
To rare. To a place of rare rooftop.
Karen's been in a state of rare rage for months and months. That's all. Well, honestly, it's all come together to make her more beautiful than she's ever been. But she is just a human fist.
She looks like at one point, when she says that to Carla, she goes, she does this thing where she goes, in my mind, I was coming for you too.
She's ready to fight right now.
Well, she stands up at one point and she goes, you don't want to go to war with me, Carla. Are you trying to go to war with me? And then Carla goes, what makes you think you're not going to war with me?
This is true. This is how the talks went, I truly believe, at the UN. Karen also gets in this zone where she, like, her accent really picks up when she's, like, really in her shit-talking mode. And she's like, yeah, they said an ambulance came and I went to the hospital. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, I didn't do any of that. And I'd fucking beat her ass if she came right in here. I'd fucking kill that bitch. It's like she gets in this like mode where she's like kind of like street Karen comes out.
And she says,
she goes, Drita can't fuck with me. That girl can lick my motherfucking pussy in a fucking Macy's.
And at one point they're talking about Carla laughing again. And then Karen goes, ha ha, giggle on, bitch.
She's Putin.
Lick my pussy in a Macy's.
I was like, what?
I love that.
That motherfucking bitch. That girl can lick my motherfucking pussy in a fucking Macy's for all I care.
And Carla's like, what? And then they sit up.
What does Macy's have to do with it?
Karen sits up and puts her two hands on the table and leans over. And then Carla's like, I'm leaving. I don't want to like fight you right now.
This is crazy. Putin vibes.
Karen follows her to the bar.
There are three men in this restaurant.
I know.
Who are all just suspiciously dining alone. And I was not, like, this is like divorced men's dining hour. And then Karen and Carla are screaming at each other at the bar while the bartender just like is taking a to-go order.
Yeah.
I also like that no one's bothered. This is like typical day-to-day Staten Island lady behavior.
But then it just ends with them being like, well, we can make peace. I kind of like you.
Karen goes, after I got in Carla's face, I realized I didn't want to hurt her. And then she goes, Carla, I invited you to dinner because I like you. Do you like me? And she goes, yeah, I like you. And they just agree not to speak anymore of Drita and Ramona. And then Karen goes, you know what, Carla? You're really not that bad of a person. You want a shot or something? She goes, yeah.
She goes, oh, I'm not that bad of a person. Sure.
Peace.
Peace. They had, it never came to blows. They had the tension. They had the, like, beating of the chest.
Mm-hmm.
But it never.
Problem solved.
Shots were never fired.
Yeah.
You're actually not that bad of a person.
I love that as a compliment. You're like, thank you.
Thanks. That ends the war that never was.
I know.
But be assured.
It's coming.
The battle is over, but the war is still on the horizon.
I believe that.
Well, 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 our tour is coming up.
On Sunday night, we will be traveling to San Mar- I just have to, my like jeans bunched up behind my Laura's knee and they like itched me.
It's like a periscope.
I didn't mean to do that right in your face.
You're like.
Do you ever have like tight pants in your knee crevice and then it like hurts?
Always.
And you're like, ugh.
I got some good looks yesterday. Laura,
yeah, Carrie is booting the house down with some looks. We're both going to boots the looks on this leg of tour.
We have a good thing planned for Sunday in San Francisco, so I hope everyone is excited. And
get
still,
your tickets now.
There's still a few tickets left, so don't...
Don't be shy.
Don't go to war with me on this.
Bitch, you want to go to war?
Ha ha, giggle on, bitch.
They said I went to the hospital. They said the ambulance came. Yeah. No, it didn't. It fucking didn't do it. And I'll fucking kill that bitch. If she wants to fucking go down, she can lick my motherfucking cunt and then fucking Macy's for all I care. Woo. Woo.
To a place of cunt.
To a place of lick my motherfucking cunt in a fucking Macy's that's for like, all I care.
That's like Pazuzu vibe.
That's wild. Like, that is me. That is
exorcist.
Yeah.
Lick me.
You're fully possessed.
And that's a that was,
what did Macy's have to do with it? Is that Macy's in like a fun way, like a love for Macy's, or Macy's in a bad way?
Don't come for Macy's.
I mean, come for all you want. But that's not the place I'd want my cunt licked. I'd be like, that girl can lick my motherfucking cunt in a motherfucking Sephora for all I care.
If you make Renee clutch her pearls, you know you've crossed the line.
This whole episode was in a place of cunt licking. Everyone was talking about
we
licking each other's pussies and cunts.
Cunt licking in Macy's.
That girl can lick my motherfucking cunt in a fucking Macy's for all I care.
That girl can come down on me in a Marshall's.
That girl can eat my ass in a Zara for all I care. What is the I don't understand what the shop element has to do with it.
That bitch can go down on me in a Rue 21.
Is that Forever 21?
No, it's like knockoff like 20 something outfits. Like it's vaguely Forever 21, but like.
But it was just a whole nother company that was called Rue 21.
Yeah.
Was it like the nicer Forever 21?
No, it was shit. It was like fake. Forever 21.
I love
Rue 21.
Rue 21.
You've never heard of it?
No. I thought that like it was maybe part of Forever 21.
No. I think it's like Russian. Psyop. Anyway, guys.
That girl can lick my fucking cunt at the Beverly Center for all I care. Okay.
We need to go.
All right.
Buy tickets. We'll see you Sunday.
Yeah,
we'll
tickets.
See you,
see
you
Sunday. Yeah, Seattle sold out. And then Portland, I'm looking at you, March 3rd. Buy tickets and lick my